Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Savage Live on Blue Monday here on the Savage Nation. Thank God I don't have to look at the ugly faces of the primaries anymore. Another person on Mantan. What is going on here? I mean, it's awful. Horrible. Can't they stop foisting these nobodies in our face? The Alfred E. Newman from Chicago. The other one looks like he died in a tanning machine. And Fox News. Look what happened to Fox News. Looks like Fox News is trying to save money. It looks to me like they fired their first-tier makeup artist and replaced him. Maybe the makeup artist is getting married today. After all, it's all the rage. Neil Cavuto looked like he was wearing rouge from a funeral parlor. But that's not the worst of it. Neil Cavuto, who cavorts to be Mr. Nice Guy and the nice kid from, you know, your neighborhood, he went off today as a pimp for NAFTA and GATT billionaires on a female guest in a way that's shameful. I don't know, maybe it was the death of Tim Russert that's making them all crazy and they're all vying for his position. But to see Neil Cavuto, who plays nice guy, pimping for NAFTA and GATT the way he did. Listen to clip 30, what he did to a female guest.
The message we're sending the rest of the world is we realize after the fact that some trade adjustments are tough and that maybe we aren't on a level playing field and we can't compete with you. So we want to redo it because we realize that we're not up to the game. Well, the message you send the others who are playing the game is you're pathetic, you're a loser, and you are not what you claim to be. And you lie.
So he tells a woman who wants us to renegotiate NAFTA and WTO and GATT with China, who is trading us into the ground through illegal methodology. You know, Neil, you have become a sad sack, and it's a shame that you're such a puppet of your paymaster that you don't even see that we see who you have become, Neil. You're not a nice guy, and you've shown yourself to be who you are. Now, there are other stories. I mean, he's just a pimple on the face of the media, but he's very, very, to me, he's an exemplar of what they've become. They represent their power, the power structure. They represent their owners. And good luck to them. That's all I could say. I was the first one in the media to dare take on the fact that this Russert thing was overblown. I was the first one in the media on Friday to take your attention and turn it into a story about what you can do to prevent or might do to lower your risk of heart disease or heart attacks. And I was shocked to see the idiocy in the media glorifying themselves like that. With a guy who was an ordinary schlub reporter, that's all he ever was, and a front man for the Democrat establishment. It's enough already. The guy worked for Tip O'Neill, I told you Friday. He worked for Moynihan. He worked for Cuomo. He was a front man for the Democrat machine and the liberal wing of the Democrat machine. Then he went to work for NBC, and you're supposed to believe he was a great objective journalist? They didn't fool me, not for a minute. What am I, the only one in the media who sees the truth and doesn't wait? Well, I don't wait. But I got news for you. Today is even worse than Friday was. Can you show me one newspaper in America that's not gay-dominated? Can you show me one newspaper that's not under the sway of the homosexual mafia? Every newspaper is showing disgusting old women who are suddenly getting married. I'm sick of it. I feel like puking every time I see a story about so-called lesbian pioneers. What do you mean lesbian pioneers? Here, Chronicle, lesbian pioneer activists see wish fulfilled. U.S. News and World Report, today marks a milestone in gay marriage. Washington Post, a new I do. CNN, lesbian pioneers marriage, decades in making. Bah humbug. The liberal media, long dominated by homosexuals, has declared that those getting gay marriages in California starting today are pioneers. pioneers. But the truth is that just as these ceremonies will make a mockery of real marriage, calling these people pioneers makes a mockery of the real pioneers and real heroes who built our society. Take, for example, the pioneers of science over the last 100 years. Can you name any of them? You know who any of them are? Huh? What element did Mary Cheney discover? What disease did Rosie O'Dumbell cure? What miracle drug did any Twosome Newsome invent? You see, real heroes are a role model for the rest of us. Real pioneers contribute something fundamentally positive to our lives. The only things the gay marriage nuts in California have contributed to us is the destruction of the family, the degradation of our society, the downfall of the church, and the hatred of America by those who still hold God above all else. See, today our culture refuses to support real heroes. How many scientific pioneers of the last 30 years can you name? How many names of military heroes in the last generation can you name by heart? How many great American inventors can you think of from the last 30 years? Answer, virtually none. That's because the homosexual-dominated liberal media refuses to tell you about them. And so while Adam marries Steve and Debbie marries Eve, the real pioneers are ignored, and there we are. Question, are you nauseated by the endless media coverage of gay marriage today? Two, if you are a Muslim or a Hindu, what's your opinion of the media's promotion of homosexual marriage? Who should be glorified in our society? Play Blue Monday, that's all. Play Blue Monday, and I'm going to take a breather.
Blue Monday, how are you, Blue Monday?
You know, I didn't think anyone would care. You see, the battle's over. Turn it. What you don't know is I know something that you don't know. You have become numb by the news. The news media has destroyed you. You basically care about nothing. I figured out a while ago that I know that this issue is of no importance to you. It has no meaning to the average American. None whatsoever. All of the items in the culture war, we have lost. We conservatives have lost every battle in the culture wars because George Bush undermined the conservative movement. And as it turns out, there's nobody representing the cultural battles for us anymore. There are a few law firms out there who are doing good jobs, some conservative law firms, but they're fighting a losing battle. What if you wake up and this Obama leftist Che Guevara, Karl Marx, Trotsky, and Raul Castro character combined in one becomes president? Then you realize that everything you've believed in for the last 30 years is going to be thrown out. Taiwan will be sacrificed to China. Israel will be thrown to the Arab wolves. Gay marriage will not only become the norm in America, heterosexual marriage is liable to become questionable. I can go down the list, but I am telling you that once Che Guevara, Obama becomes president, everything that you have learned to cherish and love about America, everything that you love about your life and your traditions will go up in smoke. That's what I see happening, and that's because you are responsible for it. The reason this is going to happen is because you have let the vermin in the media, you have let the vermin in the media run over you like roadkill. You have let the phonies on Fox News with rouge on their faces, rouge from a funeral parlor, lead you to believe that they represent the conservative movement. They don't represent the conservative movement. They represent the interests of Rupert Murdoch. They don't represent any other interests. And remember, 19% of Fox is owned by a Saudi businessman. That's if you want to know why they're soft on terrorism. That's if you want to know why they're soft on madrasas being built around America. That's if you don't want to know so many things you don't know about Fox News. Now you say, well, I must have an axe to grind. Yeah, I have an axe to grind. The axe is the truth. And that's what I'm grinding today. I'm grinding my axe on the truth of reality. This is the Savage Nation. Be here.
Savage.
Pioneers, they call them. Pioneers. They're some pioneers. You know, I have in my hand the Bible. I'm not going to read from it at all. What if you wake up and realize that everything that you believe, everything that you've learned in the Bible is illegal and wrong? What if you wake up one day and you find out that the demagogues like Gavin Newsom and Twosome Newsome, who has twisted and perverted reality to force homosexual marriage down the throats of people, What if a man like him and Obama, which, by the way, Obama's totally in favor of homosexual marriage. You should know that. What if everything you built your life on, everything, turns out to be illegal in this country and that you have to burn your Bible and you have to revise your Bible because it teaches hate? What if the gay mafia gets control of this country to an extent that you can't even imagine? Right now they run the media. They don't yet run the government, but they're very close to it. And they do what they've done in England and Canada, and they outlaw passages in the Bible. Where will they stop when they start revising the Bible? Now listen to San Francisco Mayor Eddie Tucum Newsom and his comments on gay marriage. Listen to how he's trying to parse his dastardly act. Listen to clip one.
This is about civil marriages. It's about state marriages, not about religious marriages. We're not telling our churches what to believe on abortion or what to believe on stem cell research or what to believe on divorce or, for that matter, birth control. We're not going to tell them what to do on the issue of marriage.
Why not, Gavin? Go for it, man. You're all powerful now around your gay friends. Why don't you tell the churches and the synagogues and the mosques what to believe? You can do it. Go, boy, go. Why don't you go tell the priests and the rabbis and the imams what they should believe? You're very close to doing that in your own mind because you surround yourself with butt kissers and yes girls. Well, no one will ever tell you the truth about what you become. You become a disgrace of your family and a disgrace of the state. You have debased the Catholic religion in the state of California. You've debased the office of the mayor of the city of California. And even though you're a pretty boy and you look very nice, the fact of the matter is beauty is only skin deep. And so is ugly, by the way. Ugly is only skin deep. Inside there's a vulture and a ghoul who thinks he will be president or governor or senator. But you know, Gavin, outside of very small areas of San Francisco, there's a bigger world. And wherever the actual people have been able to vote on your pet homosexual marriage, they've said no to it. How do you explain that? How do you explain that, Gavin? San Francisco, Tina, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Well, you make a really good point, Michael, and you have a great show, but I still think that you're not wise in being so adamant about these gay marriages. What difference does it make what they do? You're going to work yourself into a big heart attack like Tim Ruskert.
Won't work myself into a big heart attack. I'll tell you why, because the truth will set me free. It always has.
Aren't
you tired of the propaganda that every newspaper you pick up today shows old, ugly women getting married?
Well, as a matter of fact, yes, I think that's to be a private thing. But I also
why do you suppose every newspaper in America is showing this story?
They have an agenda, of course, but still.
Well, I have an obligation as a social commentator to say enough is enough. I've had enough of it. Just as I had enough of the Tim Russert worship on Friday. I had enough of it. I had enough of Obama a year ago, who looks like Alfred E. Newman to me.
It's a joke. Whether you're gay or straight, it's mostly a joke. But the thing is, we don't want you to get all...
It's not a joke when you steal an institution as fragile as marriage and you pervert it with a mockery. It's not a joke. It's not a joke when you pervert an institution like marriage, which is in trouble enough. It's not a joke. Our children are being destroyed by this.
Well,
I disagree with you totally. It's a very important story. The children don't know what to make of it. Children 9, 10 are saying, I'm gay. They don't know what it even means. It's a giant propaganda machine trying to pervert children. That's my opinion. Monterey, California. Tom, what's your opinion?
Yes, I'm calling from the People's Republic of Monterey, and I had to explain to my young son why these two men were holding hands the other day. And he said, Dad, didn't they say that that's wrong in the Bible? And I said, yes, they did, and yes, it's wrong, and yes to everything that he had to say about it. And I told him, I said, that's the wrongest thing you've ever seen besides the rest of the politician and the media and CNBC, because
you've got to try to explain to the children why God told people this was wrong. You've got to explain to them, to the children, how it twists everything. Just take them down to a duck pond and show them a boy duck and a girl duck, and then show the ducklings and say to them there must be a boy duck and a girl duck for there to be babies. It's the same with a dog. Puppies come from a mother duck, a mother dog. There needs to be a boy dog and a girl dog. You have to explain this to them in this time of mental rape that's going on. The children's minds are being raped by the homosexual mafia. That's my position. They're raping our children's minds.
I'm not buying into it, which is what I found was pretty neat. But, hey, I enjoy your show.
Well, good, unless somebody else does. Well, okay, you don't care about it. To me, it matters. It's just that the media is afraid of them or owned by them, and everyone's catering to them. It's like catering to Al Sharpton. You see the story that came out on him? You haven't seen the story all over the media? Can't report it. Why? Because he's not a white man? So suddenly he's allowed to do things to companies like Jesse Jackson did for years without producing a product or a service? Just by threatening a boycott, they give him money? Well, there was a name for it when Al Capone was around. I guess that's gone with the wind. Everyone's afraid in the corporate world. Plus, it's not their money anyway. They're not playing with their money. They're playing with your money. So the CEOs who run the companies do whatever they want to do with the money, including buying off potential boycotts. Have you seen what your Supreme Court did again? By a slight margin of 5-4. What the liberal rats on the Supreme Court did today. After last Thursday siding with terrorists, today the Supreme Court eased rules for foreigners who want to stay in the United States. That's right. They made it easier for illegal aliens to stay here. Now, you got to ask yourself why President Bush does not challenge the liberal wing of the Supreme Court when he has the authority and the power to do so. He could do it, by the way. He could override them through an executive order. But I happen to believe that the liberal wing of the Supreme Court exactly represents George Bush's wishes. That's my feeling. And I say that because Bush could stop them. He could do what Jackson did when he said to the Supreme Court way back when, now that you have ruled in force, meaning go ahead and see what you can do about it. Way back when, the U.S. Supreme Court put out a ruling that a president disagreed with. And the president at the time, Jackson, said, now that you have ruled in force, meaning you have no power, he overrode the Supreme Court. Why Bush doesn't override the Supreme Court is obvious. It's because he agrees with the Supreme Court. Otherwise, he would stand up to the liberal wing of the Supreme Court. That is my opinion. I'll be right back. You're listening to the one and only Truthful Savage Nation.
Savage.
Make believe you're standing in the kitchen with me and I'm having coffee and it's the morning and I'm reacting to the news. That's what it's like to me. That's what I'm doing here. Okay? I'm reacting to you, the audience, as big as it is, as though we're in the kitchen together. And that's why it sounds so different and so odd, because you're not hearing this in the media. This is not a pumped up hype show. I'm giving you one man's opinion, but it's my opinion. I'm not mincing words with you. I am sick of the gay coverage in the papers. I had enough of it with old hags getting married and calling them pioneers. I'm just sick of it. It's a gigantic brainwashing. Las Vegas, Leonard, you're on the Savage Nation.
Hey, Michael. Yeah. You know, I've been divorced now 8 years from my ex-wife, and I have a 10-year-old and an 8-year-old, and she has now all of a sudden become a lesbian and wants to get married to this other woman that she's clinging to. And every weekend when I get my kids, Thursday to Sunday, I have to convince them that what she is doing is wrong. But she
will counter
that when they go back to her.
I can't imagine what this does to children to see this kind of thing happen to one of the parents.
On Thursdays and Fridays, just so that they can, you know, get some verification that I am right. You know, say, yeah, you know what? The guy on the radio is saying what dad's saying.
And well, Leonard, here's the only way to do it. Forget the guy on the radio. Take your children down to the duck pond. Take them and show them a little mother duck with babies. Explain nature to them. Because the media has been taken over by psychopaths, they're disconnected not only from themselves and from reality, but from nature itself. And a father or a mother today has a very hard job because of the brainwashing in the schools and in the media. And you have to resort again to the basics. You know, you say the birds and the bees. When I bicycle past a little duck pond and I see a mother duck with 5 or 6 little chicks following her, I feel the universe is in order for me. I feel sanity again. And every time I pick up a paper or turn on the television, I see insanity. And the children will relate to animals, Leonard. It's really the only... How old are your children?
10 and 8.
Very hard age. You've got to do the best you can without putting the mother down. What you got to do is say, this is the way nature set it up. This is the way God set it up, that a man and a woman get married to have babies. And you got to say, sometimes people do other things, but it's not the way nature set it up. And I wouldn't go any further than that, because then you're going to be in a position of making the child feel, create a conflict for the child, Leonard.
I know. You know, Michael,
it seems to me that your wife did this to you partially out of spite, by what I'm hearing.
Oh, well, she left me when she was 27 for a 51-year-old guy, and then she dumped him for a lesbian. And
so she's a sex addict who doesn't will never find sexual gratification, and she's all over the map sexually, and that is a real problem for her. But now it's becoming a problem for you and the children.
The gay marriage in California. I called her up today, even though we're in Nevada. I said to her, because my kids were getting concerned about her getting married to this woman, I said to her, listen, the kids are a little worried about this. Do not do this. You know, don't put them through this. Because at school, the kids are already saying, oh, there's the kids with, you know, they got the gay mom, and they're embarrassed to go to the video store with her. And I said, oh, don't do this to them. You know, maybe this is something you want to do for yourself right now, but think 20, 30 years from now, you're going to look back on your life and you're going to be happy.
Well, that, you know, you hit the nail on the head. It's all about narcissism and egotism. That's what this whole movement is about. It's all about me, 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 with no regard to the society or children. That's exactly what it's about. It's caring only for the impulse and the moment.
Exactly. You know,
well, Leonard, look, it's a tough act you've got there, and this is these are the hardest years coming up for you right now. After this age, they go into the teen years, and it's very hard when they hit 11, 12, 13, 14. And you got to be strong, and you got to know that you're doing it for them, because there are going to be days, Leonard, that you're going to want to run away from it all.
And thank goodness I found a wonderful wife who can help me show them, you know, that it is man and woman, not boy and boy and girl. It's the most ridiculous thing out there.
But, Leonard, the society now makes it even harder for a parent than ever before. Thank you very much for the call. Now, as I said to you earlier, this show is very much like listening to a man in his own kitchen talking to you, and it will always remain that way. That's the way it always has been. I don't do a show for a show. I express a milder version of who I actually am. If you actually heard what I think, you'd be listening to a different show altogether. But I'm giving you the mild version. This morning I wake up to a story here in California that had me nauseated. A father stomped a 2-year-old infant to death. The police had to shoot him. So the sickos in the media say police shoot man. Police shoot man. The police pull up. They see a man punching and kicking his 2-year-old son to death. The guy wrecked the son's face to such an extent there was no face left. They need to do DNA to find who the boy is. Motorists try to stop him. He beat them up. So the cops come there and shoot him. Now, I could not understand why they wouldn't reveal the man's name. I said, there's only one reason, and that's because he's not a white male. Because had he been a white male, it would have been central casting, front page news, white bad. Well, we just got the name. The 27-year-old man's name was just released. The man's name is Sergio Casian Aguilar. Now, we don't know if Mr. Aguilar is a citizen or an illegal alien, but we do know why the vermin in the media did not release the name immediately. We know that immediately. It's because it didn't fit the agenda, as you well know. So a couple pulls up and sees a man bashing a 2-year-old to death on the highway. Couple tries to stop him. He beats them up. Other couples try to stop. He pushes them away, punches and kicks them. Then a dispatcher calls. A man is patrolling in a helicopter. The man lands the helicopter in a cow pasture, the cop, just off the roadway. The flight officer runs 20 yards towards Aguilar, and while standing behind the pasture's fence, orders the madman to stop beating the boy who was on the ground. The man refuses to comply, and the officer fires. Of course, naturally, the newspapers attacked the police for shooting the man, because the police weren't sensitive. See, the police were watching a helpless baby being kicked to death. They tried to intervene. They couldn't, so they shot the man, rightly so. But the newspapers have turned this into a police shooting. Why? Because the people in the media are the lowest of the low of the lowest of the low. They're below what you step on in a shoe when you walk through a cow pasture. 1-800-449-8255, phone number, michaelsavage.com. San Diego, Jerry, you're on the Savage Nation topic, please.
Well, Michael, I think you should be thrown off the air because people have the right to get married and be happy, and I don't know why you're against it.
Is there anything else you'd like to say? Because I'm not even going to respond to you.
A lot of air, yes. See, people are going to get married with Mexican moving in. That's going to, you know, help the problem of immigration, and people are going
to
be.
You're just trying to pull my chain. I know what you're doing. I'm not going to respond, Jerry. The fact of the matter is, people don't have the right to get married. That's something that the state sanctions, and the state could decide whether a marriage is legitimate or counterfeit. A state can decide a lot of things. A state decides who can drive a car, don't they?
Well, you know,
is it a right to drive a car if you're blind? No, it isn't. The state has to say if you're blind, you can't drive a car. You're liable to kill yourself and somebody else. Well, it's the same with marriage. A state has a right to sanctify what they want to sanctify for the sake and health of a society. And a state can say this is unhealthy for our children. We're not giving you a marriage certificate. Stop it already. Stop pushing yourself down our throats. You know I'm right. And when the people vote here in the state of California in November, we're going to override that one perverted sixth creature in the black robe. One sick perverted judge did this to the state of California. Think about that. One sicko perverted judge overrode not only the Supreme Court of the state, but the will of the people who voted on it twice. But we're going to have the final say in November. And although the phony pollsters are saying it's running neck and neck, that's rubbish. That's total rubbish. My prediction is, and write it down. You want to write it down? When the gay marriage initiative is voted on in November, it wins 59 to approximately 39, with 2% who don't even know the difference between a zebra and a mule. Marcus, South Bend, Indiana, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Michael, I'll tell you, I've been watching this for a little while. I think that this is deeper than what we're talking about right now. I've watched these people convert the civil rights movement and the language and strategies used legitimately by black people in the 60s to win freedom. And they've used it to do this disgusting behavior. And they've equated themselves with black people, which is disgusting.
Hold, let's stop right here. First of all, 90% of black churches, if not more, agree with you. And 90% of black people agree with you and are offended that their race is being used by the homosexuals to advance the homosexual agenda. That is a fact. But the media, being controlled by the gay mafia, will never show you the straight black minister. They only show you the Obama ministers.
And this is straight perversion. I'll tell you something else. When you get God out of the picture, which is what they've done, first of all, they just throw God out of the picture, anything goes. And that is what they're doing now. And
what do you think is coming next? You're telling me that if a man says he wants to marry his dog in the state of California, he won't be able to sue through the ACLU and say, I have a right to marry who I wish?
You know this is going on already. Hey, you've heard of this group called NAMBLA, correct? This National Boy Lala Men Association?
Yeah, I know who they are. I know that they should all be arrested. I know every member should be put in prison or used as sport in Corcoran prisons. Once a month, Corcoran prison and all the toughest prisons in America, once a month they should receive a gift, a free gift from the state, which is the worst child pervert that is in prison, should be thrown into the exercise yard for entertainment. And then it would put an end to the child perversion. But we're not talking about child perversion. We're talking about the perversion of marriage. We're also talking about the media being owned by them and how every newspaper I went on, LA Times, Washington, you name it, every day gay marriage, I can't take it anymore. I can't stand it. So I've said what I want to say, and we'll move on. There's plenty of other stuff to talk about, incidentally. Las Vegas, Nevada. Scott, welcome to the Savage Nation.
I've listened to you spew hate, and I usually laugh it off because of you.
Because you're so advanced, and you're so intelligent, and you have so many higher degrees, and you're so above my hatred. You're such an advanced human being, Scott, aren't you?
Tim Russ.
You're such an advanced human being. How do you stand yourself being so advanced? Listen to me, you nobody, because you're a nobody. No one ever heard of you, and nobody ever will hear of you after I hang up on you. Let me tell you something, Scott. Let me tell you, I represent most of the American people when I speak. We've had enough of this garbage. And just because you're gay doesn't mean you're smarter than everybody else.
You are.
Just because you're gay doesn't make you better and smarter. Do you understand that? I don't care what your boyfriends tell you. I am sick of this propaganda. I am sick of your superior attitude.
You're talentless. That's why they fired you.
Let me ask you something, Scott. If I'm so talentless, how come the show has 8 to 10 million listeners a week? How come 4 bestsellers in a row, Scott? Where does that come from?
What's
no
that?
Answer, Scott? Cat got your tongue? The fact of the matter is your movement is dead. If you didn't own the media, the people would be heard from, believe me, Scott. So crawl back into your leather outfit and disappear. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Allow me to take you back 5,000 years ago. Mankind has been on the earth for a long period of time, and he is living in a bizarre manner. He's doing odd things. So God speaks to a man on earth, and he gives him a set of rules, laws, and becomes the Bible. Now, I'm not a biblical absolutist, but I want you to listen to Leviticus for a moment, and tell me if you think any of these rules that God gave mankind don't make sense. Why would God have said to mankind through Leviticus, one of the books of the Old Testament, the following, and I'm going to leave out both of them shall surely be put to death and this and that, because virtually every one of the actions that I'm about to read ends with and they shall be put to death. We don't believe in that. We are not Islamists. If you believe in that, then go to Iran. But listen to what God prohibited. He's saying, sanctify yourself and keep your and be holy. Keep my statutes, or else you're going to curse yourself if you don't. And so he says this. He starts in here. He says, for whatever man curseth his father or his mother, and I'm going to leave out what he says should be done to him, is no good. I'll put it that way. The man that commits adultery with another man's wife is not good. The man that lieth with his father's wife, he is no good. If a man lie with his daughter-in-law, he is no good. If a man lie with a man, as with a woman, they are no good. If a man take with his wife and her mother, they are no good. Now, why do you think God put out these laws? I'll continue. Number 15 in Leviticus says, if a man lies with a beast, he is no good. If a woman approaches a beast and lies down with it, they are no good. If a man takes his sister, his father's daughter, or his mother's daughter, and he sees her nakedness, and she sees his nakedness, it is a shameful thing. Doesn't this make sense to you? Are you telling me that a mayor in San Francisco, who is maniacal in his power madness, should now say that all of these things should be thrown out and the state should sanctify them? Is that what should go on here? You're telling me that a mayor of a city should say, well, you know what, commit adultery. We in the state think adultery is healthy. You know what we in the state of California say? Lie with your daughter-in-law. That's good for you. Have sex with a daughter-in-law. We in the state of California believe that a man should lie with his wife and her mother because we think it should be sanctified by the state. We think that a man in the state of California has a right to lie down with a beast in the state of California. We think a woman should have sex with a beast if she wishes to do so, because we in the state of California know better than the old Bible. We in the state of California think a man shall take his sister and see her nakedness, because we in the state of California are smarter than those old Jews were. Shall I go on? Do I have to read this to you in context for you to comprehend what is going on right in front of your eyes? Well, if I do, then I shall do it. And you can't stop me. How do you like that? Believe me, the H Mafia has done everything they can possibly do. I've paid the price. They've cut my income in half. They're working with the Arab Front Group, CAIR, to destroy me. Think about the paradox of that. That the homosexual mafia, which would be killed in Iran, would rather join with CAIR in trying to destroy me than take their genius and apply it to the maniacs in Iran who kill homosexuals. Think about that. Then you'll understand why my best-selling book, liberalism with a mental disorder is still a huge hit in this country, because I finally defined what's wrong with these people. They're mentally ill. And I will repeat the truth. As long as I'm on the radio, you're going to hear me. You're going to hear me give you my opinion. I'm not altering it. I don't care what you think about me. All I care about is me and my truth and God. That's all I care about. I have to answer to him at the end. And I don't have to answer to you. That's all there is to it. San Diego, Tom, you're on the Savage Nation topic, please.
Hey, thanks so much, Dr. Savage. I got to tell you, I heard something recently in the news here about that psychotic killer pig, Susan Atkins, and all of her little cohorts, and I guess she's wanting to get out on what they're calling a compassionate discharge because she has...
She's the one of the Manson killers, right? She not only joined in the killing of Sharon Tate, but didn't she kill someone else? Didn't they kill another couple in L.A. at the time?
She did that as well, and she also was the one, she initially, her own self, killed Gary Hinman. Unfortunately, I've done a little bit of research on the subject, and it's amazing the amount of support that they get on the net. The bottom line is they're all sick, twisted pigs that acted like liberals. I mean, that was their whole thing. I don't know if you remember or not, but it was free love and everything you have, I should have, and everything belongs to everybody, but it was sick. And as far as I'm, well, okay.
You're asking me what I think of releasing one of the Manson murderers on a compassionate release because she has cancer?
Yes.
She should have been executed when she was found guilty.
She should have.
If we lived in a sane society, she would have had one or two appeals and she would have been fried. Then we wouldn't have to watch this travesty.
Actually sentenced.
And that's my opinion, that's all. I'm in favor of the death penalty. I always have been. I think they should clean up death row. They should have one a day for the next 1,000 days, as far as I'm concerned, and clean up death row so we can stock it with the next batch of piranhas that are running our society ragged. The cop killers, the baby killers, the child molesters. That's what I think. Anything else? Now, you're going to hear me ratcheting up my rhetoric over the next few months because I've had enough of this liberal war against the truth and this liberal war against reality. I'm not going to take it. I'm going to get louder and louder and louder.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Savage Nation, welcome. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. Take it or leave it. It's not going away. Stronger than ever. In fact, I happen to have learned over the weekend that the listenership to the show is much larger than reported, and that more and more people are listening because there's nowhere else to get the unvarnished truth than this show. Nowhere. Everybody else has fallen in line, with a few exceptions here and there. They're afraid of the advertisers, they're afraid of the pressure groups, they're afraid of this, they're afraid of that. And I got to tell you something. If the day comes that everyone in the media is afraid of this pressure group or that, then what's the point of having a free press if it's not free? Either you want to listen to something that gives you something to think about, things to think about, or you don't. What is the purpose of living in a – how can you live in a free society if those who disseminate the news are not free? If they have to answer to corporate masters or advertisers or pressure groups or outright gangsters who try to blackmail them with a protest march if they don't cater to them. or they're afraid to say Hispanic when there's a Hispanic murderer, or black when there's a Hispanic black murderer. But then there's a white man right away, front and center, blonde, blue-eyed murderer. And every day glorifying homosexual this, homosexual that. It's astounding that you don't live in a free country anymore. You live in a twisted reality. It's Alice in Wonderland. Now that is why, although the show is not heard in every major city on the biggest stations, it is in some, and it's heard late in the day, not in prime time in most cities, it still has an astonishingly large audience. Do you understand that? So I want to go past the topic of the first hour and get into any other topic. It's open mic to Mike Monday. 1-800-449-8255. Any topic is fair game. Duluth, Minnesota. Will, you're up. Go ahead, please.
How's it going?
Will, you're on the radio. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, I just want to say thanks for having me on your show. I didn't know you wanted to get past the topic from last hour, but I can't say I completely agree with your statements against homosexual America. I think it's a little close-minded, and I'm not attacking you in any personal way, but, you know, I think it's a little close-minded. I've listened to your show quite a bit. And
it is, it's closed-minded. Did you ever think that maybe the other side is the closed-minded side?
Well, I'm not taking either side.
Well, if the other side refuses to accept and respect the religion of the ages, if the other side will throw out the history of mankind for millennia, who is the closed-minded one here?
I understand what you're saying, and I'm not disagreeing.
How is a society supposed to go on when you have mock marriages occurring today? Tell me how it's going to go on with this mockery of marriage. How can a society go on?
But how can a society go on disobeying and breaking the rules that God has laid down every day of every week of every month of every year, and they can still yet call themselves religious? I mean, I've met people who do a lot of drugs, who sin.
Yeah, of course, that there are sinners everywhere. We're all sinners. That's not the point. When a state decides to sanctify laws that are in opposition to that of nature, then that society will not be around very long.
But they're not really.
You know, when have you heard a religion sanctify adultery or sanctify drug dealing? You've never heard that, have you?
No.
All right. So a religion has to set the rules, a red light, a green light, a yellow light. But so does a society have to set rules with red lights, yellow lights, and green lights, Will?
And we don't necessarily live in a religious society any longer. We may have at one point, but why?
That is correct. So therefore what? Anything goes? Is that what you're saying? A man can be able to marry a dog?
No, I'm not saying anything goes.
Oh, why not? Why not? If a man loves a dog, why shouldn't he be able to have sex with the dog? Whose business is that? Isn't that a personal choice, Will?
It is a personal choice. Isn't
well, then much? By your argument that a man should be able to marry a dog and have sex with a dog.
I've never said that, though. That's not what I said.
Well, you did. You just said we're not a religious society, that anything goes. Who sets the rules, then? A judge in a filthy black robe? One perverted judge now sets the rules for society and sets civilization back 10,000 years?
By my argument,
common sense would dictate that a society needs rules in order for it to survive. It doesn't mean everyone's going to follow the rules.
But
don't children need right and wrong? Don't children need to be taught right from wrong, Will?
Yeah, but right from wrong in whose eyes?
Here we go again. There's the rub, isn't it? Well, I guess it's in the eyes of a perverted judge in a black robe put in there by the homosexual mafia. It's in his eyes, I guess. We should all follow the law that he wants to lay down. So if he says that a prisoner in Guantanamo who was involved in 9/11 has the same rights as you, you would go along with that because he's a judge.
No, not at all.
Not at all, because it doesn't make sense, does it?
No, but
now why does that not make sense to you, that a prisoner in Guantanamo who was involved in 9/11 should not have the same rights in a court that you do? Give me your gut feeling on why, Will.
Because he took lives. Human lives.
Okay. In other words, he took human lives, and he is a threat to the survival of the society. Is that correct?
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Well, so is gay marriage a threat to the survival of civil society? Because it confuses the children. Because it mocks real marriage. Because it attacks an institution that is already fragile, because it attacks the very brick of civilization, which is the family. That is why a society must not approve it. Thank you for the call. I'll be right. No, not yet. No break. Now we're going to move on. I don't want to talk about it anymore. Time to move on. Houston, Texas. Mary, go ahead. You're on the Savage Nation.
Oh, Michael, I want to talk about it. I get so frustrated with people like Will because, you know, I'm just a sassy woman from Texas, but I am fed up with all of this mess. I'm tired of the garbage onslaught. I think what has happened is we're really not apathetic in America. We really do want somebody to help us organize and get a, we need a Moses. We need somebody to listen.
What happened was is George Bush so deceived you and tens of millions of others that the conservatives have just given up and gone home. They got screwed once again by another Bush, and they're terrified it's going to happen with McCain. So they've gone home. They packed up and gone home. And consequently, the other side has run over the field.
No, don't bet on it, Michael. People in Texas are so mad at George Bush. He sold us out, and we know it. We know a turncoat when we see one. We know a yellow-bellied, liver-lilied person like George Bush. We know when we've been screwed, and we don't smile. We don't smile when we've been screwed like that.
How could you people in Texas be in favor of open borders and let Mexicans run across your ranches and your land with drugs and illegal aliens? Of course you're fighting against it, but the federal government is fighting you.
We need a Moses, and we need somebody to lead us out of this self-imposed Egypt that we have put on ourselves. We need to have somebody who can show us how to bring these pharaohs of the liberal media to their knees, how to grab them by the short and curly and bring them to their knees.
Wow, that's a beautiful set of images there, Mary. I like it, especially the last one.
They are stinking, and we need to know. Believe me, the silent majority may be silent, but we are talking loud and clear to one another.
Mary, all right, good. Let's have this conversation. Are you going to vote for McCain?
If he's the only choice I've got, yeah.
All right, let me hear you why. What is it about Obama you don't like or you fear?
What I don't like and what I fear is his Marxist, socialist agenda.
Let's pause right there. What about Obama's programs are Marxist or socialist?
He wants to redistribute the wealth. He wants,
in other words, steal it from those who earned it. Is that what you mean by redistribute the wealth through high taxation? He wants to go after people who make more than a certain amount of money because they're too smart and too clever. They're not stupid enough for him.
Exactly. And let me ask you, I'd love for him to define just where the line would be that he would draw. And
well, he's defined it already. Any couple that makes more than $250,000 a year is the rich to him. And it doesn't matter how they make the money or how much they didn't have 30 years ago. What matters is they have more than the idiots that support him. He's an absolute naked demagogue.
I agree completely. But
So let's start with one of his programs that you find offensive, which is high taxation for people who have had the brains and or the fortune to earn money. Why should they be taxed more than a person who makes less money? Do you know that the graduated income tax unto itself is Marxist? Why should you be penalized for being smarter than the other guy? Why should you be penalized for being luckier or harder working than the other guy? Why shouldn't there be one taxation for all?
That's right. There should be a fair tax, and we should not be penalized. We should be rewarded.
If you study the history of taxation, which I don't want to get into, every society that decided to tax the high earners has lost its incentive. For the high earners lose their incentive to earn. They give up. They close factories. They stop producing. They say, go to heck. I'm not working for the bums anymore. Let them make it. And what you wind up with is a failed economy.
Exactly. You get mediocrity. It's pathetic.
Well, Obama's in favor of everything that I fought against all of my life. He's in favor of homosexual marriage, affirmative action, rights for terrorists in Guantanamo. You name it, he's for it. He is right out of Fidel Castro's playbook.
Please.
How does he get away with this, Mary? Why is the media so compliant with this self-professed Afro-Leninist?
Has to some way benefit them, and I haven't figured it out yet. I cannot believe they're that stupid. But
Mary, did you hear the first hour of my show?
Yes.
Talking about a particular topic?
Yes.
Okay. They run the media. You understand that, Mary? Do I have to spell it out again in this hour?
No, you do not. But that
all right. Now you understand why they're in favor of Obama. They'd rather see this country become a Marxist nation than remain a free nation as long as their agenda can be promoted.
How do we hurt them in the pocketbook? How can we affect their listenership? What can we do to grab them by the short and curly?
I don't have an answer for you, Mary. All I can tell you is this. The truth will set you free. Keep listening to the truth. Keep speaking the truth. I don't care whether you're in a supermarket line or a church. I don't care where you are. Don't be intimidated by the forces of conformity and the forces of politeness. They'll kill you.
That's never been one of my strong suits. I tend to be a little bit pushy. So
good. Keep on pushing, honey. You're on my side. I'm on your side. I mean that. Wow, look at this. Do you realize it's 19 minutes after the hour? Do you have any idea you're listening to the one and only Savage Nation? Do you have any idea what you're listening to? I'll be right back.
Savage.
Here in California, we're reeling from a horrendous story. A Mr. Aguilar stops his pickup truck, takes out his two-year-old infant son and starts bashing his head against the pavement, stomps the kid's head and kicks the kid. Passerbys try to stop him. He beats them up. A cop arrives on a helicopter, tells him to stop and has to shoot the guy. Now the cop is in trouble for firing the fatal shot because of the vermin in the media. You know, it's unfortunate that California will not allow trained, licensed people to carry concealed firearms, as is done legally in 42 of these other states of ours. Because maybe, just maybe, the first passerby could have killed this animal. And the baby would be alive, albeit injured. If only one armed person could have stopped this Mr. Aguilar, maybe the baby would be alive today. As someone said, you call for a cop and a pizza, and the pizza arrives sooner. Call for a cop and a pizza, and the pizza arrives sooner. Can you blame the cops for not arriving sooner? With what goes on? A cop comes and sees a man bashing a two-year-old to death in a highway and has to shoot him, and now the cop's in trouble? Slams the toddler into the asphalt, stomps the baby on the head and kicks him because the child had demons. Demons. Mr. Aguilar said that the baby had demons. Took him all day to identify Mr. Sergio Aguilar, age 27. We still don't know if he's a citizen or not. No doubt he'll be deported back to his homeland if he isn't, and they'll say there's no death penalty there. I can't wait to hear the liberals with crying over his poor... the poor man who killed the baby, and how the cop should be arrested for doing his job. What a story this is. I have it up on michaelsavage.com. If you want to throw up and get sick, go look at it. 1-800-449-8255. I feel like playing music right now. There's nothing else to talk about. It's hot. I don't know what's going on. I don't know what's going on. Is it the drugs? Is it the godlessness? Is it the fact that our leaders are corrupt and devoid of any leadership qualities? That the society seems to be just coming apart? Is it the war in Iraq is finally having its toll on everybody? That this distant war and the murder and the fact that it's going on? What is behind all of this? I never saw things like this go on in my life. Who takes an infant and beats it to death like this on a roadside? And what newspaper would attack a policeman for shooting the man and put him in question? When would this have happened? When would this have happened? The headline is crazy. Police shoot and kill man is the headline. You hear this? This is, I swear to God, the lead of the story in Modesto B, where it happened. Police shoot, comma, kill man who savagely beat toddler to death near Turlock. Now, you want, you know, let's look at this headline. It's completely backwards. You know it should be the reverse. Police try to save toddler being beaten to death by man and shoot him. But I've warned you that the media is peopled by outright idiots and perverts who have everything upside down. I also told you that the eye that alters, alters all. That is why they think gay marriage is the same as straight marriage, if not better. That is why they attack police on a daily basis instead of the homicidal maniac. They put the police as the murderer. Don't you understand you're living through a madness that the media is promulgating on you, and that one of their own die, they make it as though the second coming is over? Everything is upside down because of the media. Everything. They're the problem. They're the problem in this country. It's the media. It's the media, stupid. Police shoot and kill man who savagely beat toddler to death near Turlock. Now, that's an insane headline. Whoever wrote it should be fired and put into a mental hospital. That's not the story. The story is a toddler is being beaten to death and the police try to stop it by shooting the man. That's the same headline. But when you have these students on drugs who go to J school because they can't get a legitimate job, this is what you wind up with. Then they learn how to make a tie and they're on television.
Savage.
Well, here it is. This just came out minutes ago, late-breaking news. Remember the porn judge last week, Judge Alex Kaczynski, who was presiding over a porn trial, and he didn't disclose that he had similar disgusting material on his own website, fecal matter, looking at feces and urination and women dressed up as cows. Well, the judges who will inquire about Mr. Kaczynski's behavior have been named. And they are a panel of federal judges on the East Coast. So you can rest assured now that the black robes on the East Coast will fairly judge the black robes on the West Coast. As you know, they all don't know each other. As you know, they are definitely not friendly. And as you can imagine, federal judges are not a small fraternity of friends. And so you can rest assured now that the black robes on the East Coast, who are going to handle the ethics investigation to the conduct of Judge Kaczynski, will do a perfectly fair job. San Francisco Bob, you're on the Savage Nation.
Hey, Michael. You know, this Protection of Marriage Amendment is a Band-Aid fix at best, if not a total sham, in one particular area. What we really need is we need an amendment to create a constitutional check on this activist judiciary, something that's going to allow things to be vetoed, whatever. And the reason we're not hearing anything more about it is than rhetoric is that we've got this oxymoronic group of what political leaders.
Well, Bob, I think what we need is no more federal appointees for life, no more judgeships for life. When did that come down? When was that created? Do you know, Bob, since you're into the judiciary problem?
You know,
why are they not elected every 6 years? Why shouldn't the judge have to run and face the people after he either does good or bad or reflects the mores of the people? Why should a judge be appointed for life?
I think a lot of it was actually at the beginning, and there were many people of the founding fathers who disagreed with the way the judiciary was being set up. But the problem is these guys are stealing.
But politicians have term limits. Politicians have to face the people for their good or bad deeds or mediocre work. Why should a judge be like a Caesar ruling for life? I think that is the issue, Bob.
Not agree more. And until we get some way of removing and imprisoning these activist judges for what they're doing to people and for vetoing the various legislation they create.
Well, Thursday, the Supreme Court, by a 5-4 vote, one judge ruled basically that the prisoners at Guantanamo, including 9/11 mastermind, have the same rights as an American citizen. Does it get any crazier than that, Bob? Yes, it does. And stay tuned for what else they do. Thanks for the call. San Francisco Rich, welcome to the program. You're on the Savage Nation.
Yeah, I'm an African-American, and I'm just calling to comment that you're exactly right. A lot of African-Americans, they're very offended by the fact that homosexuals try to compare them to the same plight that African-Americans have gone through when that lifestyle that they choose is just something totally bogus and different.
Yeah, it has nothing to do with the race and prejudice against the race. Nothing whatsoever. There's no relationship at all. It's a complete and total distortion, just as is homosexual marriage, a distortion of real marriage.
Yeah, absolutely. I concur wholeheartedly.
Well, Rich, you know, I noticed that when this mayor of ours, Annie Toussaint Newsom, put this forward, there were, I think it was something like 60 reverends, preachers, ministers from black churches and Chinese churches went to City Hall to protest. They went quietly. The newspapers would not cover them, Rich. They would not show the actual mores of the black community and of the Chinese community, which is quite traditional, by the way.
Yeah, that's insane. And, you know, and like you said in the past, you know, the media, they're pretty much bought and paid for. And it's insane, as you know, if I can pick up on your words there. Yeah.
Well, keep on talking the good talk, Rich. Say it like it is. It's all we got left is freedom of speech. You know they're trying to declare anyone who talks against this as hate speech. somebody. They imprison you in England or in Canada now if you dare stand up to this incredible, incredible brainwashing.
Yeah, believe it or not, Mr. Savage, I've been listening to you for a couple of years now, and initially when I heard you, I was a little bit shocked. I couldn't believe some of the things you were saying, but the more I listen to you, you know, I believe you're a sincere man, and I believe you're trying to speak the truth, and, you know, I back you 100%.
Well, you know what? Thank God. Thank God there's one black man out there who does. Where there's one, there'll be many. Thank you for the call. I have 10 or 11 women listeners on my 10 million listeners. 10 or 11 are women. Now at least I know I have at least 10 black. Come on, I'm just pulling your leg. I don't know the exact numbers of women, or you know, I don't break it down that way. But the fact of the matter is, look, you're really the silenced majority here. You're not the silent majority, you're the silenced majority. You don't have your views portrayed in the newspapers. Television has become increasingly rigid. And even radio, people are afraid. I don't blame them. I don't blame them. Corporations are trying to cut talk shows to death, trying to cut their salaries. They're using every lie in the book. I'll give an example. They're cutting salaries of talk shows in 50, cut them in half. They're saying, well, business is down. Yeah, but it's not down 50%. If business is down 20%, why do you cut a talk show salary by 80%? You know, again, people are afraid. They won't speak the truth. Let's say advertising is down 20%. How do you justify cutting a salary by 80%? You don't. You think people are stupid. So I know what's going on. I can see it all. Vern in San Francisco, welcome to the Savage Nation. Topic, please.
Yeah, Michael, California is becoming Netherlands West and San Francisco, New Amsterdam. All the geniuses need to give us next is 80% taxes, red light districts with teenagers and shop windows, and a euthanasia program for people unhappy with because of the progress.
Mm-hmm. Well, is the Netherlands a bad place? The argument would be it's a perfectly safe, fine place, is it?
Yeah, we're getting a lot of European culture, I guess.
Isn't that great? So that if you're a person who stands up to Islamofascism in Denmark, in the Netherlands, you wind up with a knife in your chest, laying next to the river.
Yeah, well, you're the only one.
Now, Vern, you wrote the book on the hands. I saw it on palmistry, didn't you?
It's a different Vern, but still. It's 94, though, and you're the only voice in the media that we can.
94 to 2008, almost 2009. You know, some people have grown up listening to the show. I was amazed. You figure out a guy's 15 when he started listening, and now he's 30. I've influenced an awful lot of lives, Vern.
Well, you have the staying power, and you have the people to back you, so we're here for
I do have the staying power. Isn't that amazing? Amazing. I don't know how it happens. Sometimes I don't know if I'm going to live through the nights. Tampa, Florida. Chris, you're up on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yes, I would have to agree with the Supreme Court decision, and they did not go far enough regarding Guantanamo Bay, their most recent decision. What they did was they ruled against the procedure by which the detainees are being held, which is under the Military Commissions Act of 2006, of course, an act of Congress. But it doesn't make it right that the Congress would give this or any future president the right to retroactively interpret the Geneva Conventions or to...
Let's pause right here. You know about the Quirin decision, don't you?
The which decision?
Well, you're an expert on the law. You're sounding like such an educated legal scholar. And you don't know about the Quirin decision?
I'm sorry, how do you spell that?
Are you reading from a USA Today editorial, or where are you reading from?
No, these are my notes from many hours of research, Michael.
That's what I said. You're a researcher who's done a lot of research, but apparently you've only researched liberal sources. If you are a liberal, that's fine. Then why don't you research all of your liberal sources? Because you'll find that it was a liberal president by the name of Franklin Delano Roosevelt who presided over the trial of Nazis who were landed in America on a German submarine, and they were not granted the habeas corpus, the rights of an average American. They were tried in a military tribunal, and they were hung. And it was called the Quirin decision, and you ought to read that one. Then you'll have a more complete picture of what's going on here and what a travesty of justice this is.
Okay, but I'm talking about the Military Commissions Act, which allows the president... Well,
again, you're going over what I just said to you. Let's go back to World War II. The Nazis sent Gestapo agents here. They landed in America. They were captured. They were not afforded the same rights as American citizens. Why would a liberal president have decided not to grant them the same rights at that time as an American citizen? Why?
Well, I'm not arguing against giving the detainees habeas corpus. I am arguing against the dubious history of not only Guantanamo Bay, but the dubious history of the Military Commissions Act, which also allows the president.
So what you're doing is you're joining with the liberals who hate George Bush, and what you're trying to do is gain points against the Republican Party to advance the agenda of the Democrat Party. And in doing so, what you're doing is sacrificing national security. That's exactly what the Supreme Court did. But, Chris, you're a man who's trying to learn the truth, and I suggest you read the whole truth and nothing but the truth. It's Q-U-I-R-I-N. You can Google it, and you'll see the whole story. Thanks for calling. See, the problem with my detractors is they don't realize they're dealing with an educated man who was once a scholar with a real PhD and two master's degrees. And so I actually know my facts, and you're never going to nail me to a cross with lies. If you can get me wrong, make me wrong. But don't try to do it on the double talk that they're entitled to the same rights as an American citizen. What sane country would take a man who conspired to crash planes into the World Trade Center and the Pentagon and say, oh, they're entitled to the same rights as any American citizen? They must be given a full and fair trial in a U.S. court. So another demented, bubbling fool from NYU or Harvard or Bolt or whatever, another stupid law school can come and defend that person and see the man rush back to Afghanistan to plan to kill the lawyer who freed him. Well, what can I tell you? Quirin, 1-800-449-8255. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. New Jersey, Stan, you're on the Savage Nation.
Hello, Dr. Savage. Hello,
yes,
there.
Stan. Go ahead.
Yes, hello. I'm calling because I'm just thankful because of the way this country's turned out, that because my dad, he passed away in 1982 during the first administration of the darn best president that ever walked American soil. But if he knew what was going on today, he'd turn over in his grave. And I feel sorry for my 9-year-old son, who's got to inherit the mess that we're in now. I don't believe God bless America. America better start blessing God.
Well put. Thanks for the call. You can't comment on that. Oakland, Jay, you're up on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Mr. Savage, you're a very complicated individual. And I've been listening to you since probably the first Bush term, first Bush term from 2000. And, sir, you're very educated. You know a lot. And you said many things, and I've actually learned some things from listening to your show, even though I disagree with most of the things that you say. However, I really wish that you would just have some courage and really tell people, you know, what you're about. I heard the African-American gentleman call you just a few minutes ago and compliment you, and his compliments were right on point. But, sir, you have made some very racist comments in the past that have been very insensitive to African-Americans, and I still listen to you anyway because...
Well, hold on. Let me hear which... hold on. You just made a blanket statement. Tell me what offended you. I'd like to hear it.
Okay, well, let me just say, first of all, you've made many statements that I don't care to remember. But in February of this year, you made the comment, you were talking about how CARE was trying to take you off the air and stuff, and the ACLU was backing their case. And you said that the ACLU has done more damage in America than the Ku Klux Klan. Excuse me, sir? I never read or heard about the ACLU bombing a church, killing three little girls while they're at choir practice.
In terms of the social fabric, the ACLU has done irreparable damage to this country and continues to do irreparable damage to this country. The ACLU is one of the most dangerous organizations in American history. Now, as far as African Americans go, do you know who Kobe Bryant is?
Yes, I know who Kobe Bryant is.
All right. Who in the media came out on the side of Kobe Bryant when he was falsely accused by that Rocky Mountain white trash other than me?
There was a few guys on ESPN, but you did come out and support him. I agree with that. But
if I'm such a racist, why would I have sided with Kobe Bryant instead of the white girl who falsely accused him?
I can tell you another racist comment that you made.
Well, wait, no. Why don't you answer what I just asked you, since it's a two-way street? I am the only person, a white person in the media, who was first anyway, to say, wait a minute, this stinks. It's Rocky Mountain white trash. He's after his money. And I back Kobe Bryant. At least give me credit for that.
You know what, Mr. Savage? You're right. You did back Kobe Bryant. But anyone with an ounce of sense knew that it was a setup. I can tell you another thing.
Well, wait a minute. You're right. Anyone with an ounce of sense knew it. How come everyone else in the media didn't know it or didn't say it?
Because they wanted to sensationalize it. That's what the media does. But you make racist statements. When that guy from Cheers said the N-word in his comedy routine.
Whoa, whoa, wait, wait. When who said the N-word?
You know that guy, not from Cheers, but from Seinfeld, that guy Michael whatever. He said the N-word in his comedy routine. It was all over the news. The very next day, sir, you came out saying, oh, ha, 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 big deal. Maybe I should do my show in blackface.
Man, I never said, no, you're making this up. Now you're making this up. You are reading from a website that invents things about me. I'll tell you right now, I know what you're reading. You're making this up to try to smear me because a black man called supporting me. So you're one of the haters now who have a script in front of you. I never said that thing. Never. That's not me talk. That is not me. I never said that.
I have been trying to get through to your show since you said those things, but your line is always busy. This is the first time I've been able to get through. Yes.
Of me.
People that you're a racist and quit being political.
Well, you're a racist. That's all that's on your mind is hate and race. That's all that you're sitting around with, a little book like Madame Defarge. You are the racist. That's all you think about, is who may have offended thee.
My family. You always want to...
Why is it that you only think about black and white and white and black? Why is that, Jay? Why do you see the whole world through race?
I don't see the whole world through race. Why?
Well, that's all you're talking about right now. All you're talking about is race. You won't talk about anything else. Nothing. That's all that's on your mind is race, race, and race.
You know what you said. That's all.
You are sitting there like a communist waiting to erect the gallows. You're waiting to erect the gallows for anyone that you think is not sensitive enough to your particular views of what is racially correct. And that's a very sad place to be, Jay. You are walking around in a very small and narrow tunnel, Jay. And by the way, your quotations are absolutely made up. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Tonight should be one of the big, Tonight should be one of the biggest comedy acts of all time. Al Gore. Who's head of the Al Gorleone crime syndicate, pushing carbon credits the way Frank Nitti pushed the protection racket, is going to endorse Barack Obama. Now, I suspect that Al Gore will not say that global warming is causing racism, but I wouldn't be surprised if he doesn't try to make a tie-in somehow, since it's going to occur in Flint, Michigan. We don't know what Gorleone, the head of the crime syndicate, is liable to say. He sure waited a long enough time to endorse Obama. I guess he wanted to see who won before he endorsed them. That's amazing to me. Andrea, Houston, Texas, go ahead. You're on the Savage Nation.
Thank you for taking my call, Dr. Savage. I just wanted to call in right quick and kind of dispute what the last caller said in regards to your comments about the Michael Richards fiasco.
Yes, yes.
I had just started listening to you not too long after or before that. And I particularly remember you saying that he was disgusting and that he was indeed a racist. I was shocked by that because as an African-American woman, I don't always agree with what you have to say, but I was definitely shocked by the fact that you did say that, and you did come out against Michael Richards and say that he was a racist and that he was absolutely...
Of course I did. Just as I said that Kobe Bryant was innocent, and just as I said that the accuser in the Durham case in Durham, North Carolina, should be arrested. So it's not a matter of black or white. I try my best to call them like I see them, and I try to be a decent umpire. And I don't think I've been wrong too many times. Thank you for the call. In the next hour, we'll talk about this and all the other news of the day. The big news is the propaganda in the media about homosexual marriage and how every newspaper in the land is celebrating the fraudulent institution of homosexual marriage right here on the Savage Nation. Have you had enough? I've had enough. Speak out.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
McCarthy era of the early 50s, there were trials in the House of Un-American Activities Committee or whatever, where people's loyalty to America was questioned. And the way the committee began was, are you now or have you ever been a member of the Communist Party? And the person had to answer yes or no, and they were usually crucified if they were. It turns out, by the way, that the hearings were 100% correct. There was a great infiltration of Hollywood and of the press by communists, but that's not the point of my digression in this hour. The point is that today the new McCarthyites are the liberals who say, are you now or have you ever been a racist? Are you now or have you ever been a homophobe? Are you now or have you ever been insensitive to global warming? Are you now or have you ever been critical of Barack Hussein Obama and so forth and so on? So you have to watch out where you're coming from. For example, the two Oklahoma girls who were killed last week, those young girls, you may remember the story. They've been looking for a guy. Now, a sketch comes out on a person of interest. They say he's described as an American Indian about 6 feet tall with black hair and a ponytail. He was driving in a white Ford, a Chevrolet, blah, 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 blah. Now, why is it important that he be identified in this manner? Because if they're looking for a suspect, can they not say what he looked like? Should they say he was a man 6 feet tall with black hair? Or they have to say he looked like an American Indian? Or a white man or a black man or an Asian man? What is wrong? Are you people totally insane? How can you live in a society where you're so afraid to say anything that a murderer can't even be identified for fear you'll offend some group? Oh, you mean the guy who took a two-year-old toddler and beat him to death outside his pickup truck. His last name is Aguilar. Should they not have said Aguilar? Because that's racist to say his name was Aguilar, and we shouldn't say this man looked like an American Indian while you're looking for the potential perpetrator. Don't you understand how insane this all is? This is the new McCarthyism. I'm Michael Savage. Get used to it, because I'm not going anywhere. You're not driving me out of this business. The show has gotten bigger and stronger every day. And no matter how many times you detractors try to drive me off the air, I only get angrier and stronger. And my rhetoric is going to get even more vociferous, because I'm not being rolled over. Unlike Fox News, which has become the CNN of as near as 3 years ago. Fox News has become just like CNN. I've never seen a meltdown like this. No, I'm going to get even more vociferous. I am not afraid of the corporate giants. I am not afraid of advertisers. I have walked through fire, and I am a fire walker. I have walked through the fire, and all of my advertisers are still with me. I don't care how many anti-American groups come out of the woodwork and try to slam me. The people who are with me are with me. Those who are against me are against me. All I care about is telling you the truth the way I see it. And so when I say to you, the idiots in the media who write a story, police shoot man, who is, instead of turning it around the way it was, don't you understand what I'm saying to you? Don't you get it? Gainesville, Florida. Ron, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, man. I wanted to comment on that last guy that called in and say he was racist. Man, he's racist himself, because all he has to do is do his research and find out, you know, such people that he take as role models, such as Martin Luther King, was communicating in parties with the communist community. You know, and he he's bashing you on something that you're telling it how it is. If he would get off.
Well, he was bashing me. He can disagree with me, but I never said those things about that particular comedian. And I never made a mockery of what the comedian said and said it was okay to say it. I never said that, Ron. The facts will support me. He is quoting a newspaper run by George Soros, a website run by homosexual radicals. And I'm surprised because the man sounds like a man who wants to know the truth. Look, Ron, it's a big world. You're always going to offend somebody when you speak your mind. You know that from your own life. No matter where you are, if you speak what you seem to, what you deem to be the truth, you're going to make some people look and respect you and some look at you and hate you. Thanks for the call. There's nothing you can do about it. Quickly, Houston, Texas. Regan, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Michael, I just want to make a quick comment. I don't understand how Obama seems to be the Pied Piper and everybody seems to be following him so blindly. And most of his views, they seem to be communist in nature and nobody seems
correct.
To
his church is Afro-Leninist. His rhetoric is that of soft socialism. But don't be mistaken, Reagan, most of America is not following Obama. The very same media that today is glorifying homosexual marriage in every newspaper of the land is the media that is promoting Obama as the Messiah and leading you to believe everybody's going to vote for him. The people have not yet been heard from, Reagan.
Okay.
You have not been polled or heard from. You don't own a newspaper. But the very same deviants who run these newspapers, who every day are telling you that Obama this, Obama that, showing him with a halo around his head, these are the same newspaper people who today have taken their valuable freedom of the press that has been fought for and blood spilled for and used it to promote lesbian marriage as though that is the be-all and the end-all of liberty. As though all of America was founded simply so that two old hags can get married after 50 years of living in sin. I'm sorry, I find it offensive and I'm sick of it and I'm tired of the propaganda and I can't take it. I can't take it and that's why I'm telling you about it. But don't be mistaken. It's a gigantic hypnosis that they're trying to pull on you. You know when you'll know who the president is? After the election in November. Not when these pervs in the media tell you it's over. It's not over yet. It hasn't even occurred. I'll be right back.
Savage.
My listeners, you know I talk a lot about the 1950s. Well, the president then was very different than the one we have today. Dwight D. Eisenhower, better known as Ike, was a certified American war hero. He didn't have to say mission accomplished. It was accomplished. He defeated Hitler. He guided our nation afterwards to some of its best times. Michael Korda is an author and former editor-in-chief of Simon & Schuster. He's with us today to talk about his recent book, Ike, an American Hero. Michael Korda, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hi, Michael. Thanks for having me on today.
When did you decide to write Ike?
Well, you know, many years ago, I wrote a biography of Ulysses Grant, somebody I've always admired and thought did not get a fair shake from historians by and large. And when I was writing about Grant, it began to occur to me how much Grant and Eisenhower resembled each other in so many ways. They were both victorious generals, probably the two best generals America has ever produced, and both served two terms as president. And both have been sort of chipped away at by conventional historians, and in many ways shared some of the same characteristics. To begin with, they were both poor boys from the West, which Ohio was when Grant was a boy, and the Midwest, of course, which Kansas was when Ike was a boy. Neither one of them wanted to be a soldier. They both went to West Point reluctantly because it was the only way they could get a free college education. Ike actually passed the examination for Annapolis and was going to go to Annapolis and become a naval officer, and then a vacancy fell through at West Point, and he switched to the Army, which just goes to show how little his heart was in going to the... And both of them waged war in the same way and style. They both believed passionately in bringing to the battlefield the maximum strength of America in men and material, decisively and with a very firm idea of what constitutes victory. So I was so struck by the resemblances between them. Of course, there were differences. Ike enjoyed a drink, but he didn't have a drinking problem. But I was just struck by the resemblance in general
that once I'd done Grant, I started to think about Ike and read about Ike. And the more I read about Ike, the more I found him a very impressive figure. And I think an even better general than I thought he was, and a much better president than anybody gives him credit for today.
Well, what was your favorite story about Eisenhower?
Well, my favorite thing about Ike, I think, is the unlikelihood of his emerging as a great general and as a professional army man in short, out of a family where, on his father's side, they were all Mennonites. The Mennonites were bearded German-speaking neighbors of the Amish in Pennsylvania, some of whom moved to Kansas after the Civil War, and the central tenet of their faith, like the Amish, was pacifism. And Ike's mother not only converted to being a Mennonite and came from a similar background, but in midlife converted to being a Jehovah's Witness. And as you know, the Jehovah's Witnesses are even more pacifist than the Mennonites, if anything. So it's a fascinating story to me that there emerged out of this profound pacifist family with a deep core of religion that goes back to the 1500s that prevents any kind of bloodshed or taking part in warfare, that there emerged one of the two best generals in the United States history. That, I found, is a fascinating story. Ike's mother, the only time anybody ever saw her cry was when she saw Ike off to the station with his suitcase on the way to West Point, not because he was leaving home, but because he was going away to be a soldier. And even when he was a five-star general and the victorious commander of the Allied forces in Europe over Nazi Germany, Ike's profession as a soldier still disturbed her deeply, and she was very reluctant to read all the stories about Ike as a general. So I thought, here's a fascinating story to begin with. I mean, how do you emerge out of this profoundly pacifist background into West Point, and from there to the great world, and then from there to becoming a five-star general from 1942 to 1945, and in which he demonstrated, I think, an absolutely stunning mastery of war, an extraordinary sense of diplomacy and an ability to deal with allies, and a real plan for victory that he stuck with and carried through as he wanted it to be carried through, arguing as an equal against Roosevelt, Churchill, de Gaulle, and Stalin for his own plan and winning. So I think he was an extraordinary personality.
Well, a great example of his powerful personality was his relationship with MacArthur.
Oh, very much so, because MacArthur was so very different. I mean, first of all, MacArthur was a good deal older. Secondly, MacArthur had been an extraordinary hero in the First World War. And finally, MacArthur came of a very, very well-connected and socially well-connected and wealthy military family. His father had been a general. In fact, for many, many years, General MacArthur and his father were the only father and son winners of the Medal of Honor in American military history. And MacArthur was also a shameless snob, a glamorous figure, a very difficult and vain and arrogant man to work for. And yet the decade in which Ike, as a major and then as a lieutenant colonel, served as Douglas MacArthur's aide was what taught him in the final analysis everything he knew about politics, Washington, the White House, and about military politics. He learned an enormous amount from MacArthur without ever getting to like MacArthur, although it has to be said that Mrs. Eisenhower disliked General MacArthur even more than Ike did. There's a famous story, which I'm very fond of, that at the end of the war, when they were both five-star generals and supreme commanders, a young woman came up to General MacArthur and asked him, "General MacArthur, do you know General Eisenhower?" And MacArthur gave her a steely look and said, "Yes, ma'am, I do. Best clerk I ever had." Which I think goes to show General MacArthur's feelings about Ike. There's also a story that at the end of the war, when the Canadians named a mountain after Eisenhower, MacArthur sent an aide for an atlas and stared at the map of Canada for some time with a magnifying glass, and then straightened up his back and with some satisfaction said,
given the terrain, pretty small mountain. And Ike, when asked if he knew General MacArthur by a civilian, said, yes, he did, he said. And then after a pause, he said, I studied dramatics for 7 years under General MacArthur. So there was no love lost between the two men.
What is the one thing people should know about Eisenhower?
I think the one thing is that, like Grant, Ike understood that there is an American way of waging war, and waged it, like Grant, with enormous success. Ike believed that in order to fight successfully, you needed to have a clearly defined goal that would constitute victory, i.e., destroying the German army and conquering Nazi Germany. That's a goal. Whether it's feasible to do or not is a different matter altogether, but it's a goal. He was strongly committed to using force only as a last resort, but absolutely believed that if force is going to be used, it has to be used in tremendous quantity, aimed at a specific goal, and that goal must be realized rapidly. That in short, America must bring its power to bear and then bring its troops home.
Mm-hmm.
I also think that Ike understood how to use force and when to use force as a president in a domestic situation. For example, when Orville Faubus sent segregationist mobs out into the streets to prevent five black children going to the Little Rock High Schools after the Supreme Court ordered the desegregation of the Arkansas school system, everybody recommended sending federal marshals in or sending the FBI in, and Ike wouldn't hear of it. Ike sent the 101st Airborne in, fully armed, one of the airborne divisions that had dropped the night before D-Day at his command, to escort five small black children through segregationist mobs into school in Little Rock, because he understood that if you have to use force, it has to be so overwhelming that it will simply put an end to any kind of situation and accomplish your goals. That to do less than that is to drag it out. He was extraordinarily good at mastering difficult situations and extraordinarily courageous in his decision as to when to use force and as when not to use force.
Michael Korda, author of Ike, an American Hero, thanks for being with us on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
With everything going on in the news and the disfocus on the important stories like the Democratic nomination, you may have missed a story about the new Russian president taking his first official diplomatic trip. Didn't go to the West, as you might have thought, but he went to China. George H. Whitman is the former chairman of the National Institute for Public Policy, and he's written an important article on the visit to China and joins us now to give us some details. George Whitman, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hello, Michael. Thank you for having me on your program today.
Well, for those who may have missed the story, please give us the basics.
Well, the basic story is, in fact, that you have a new Russian president, but he's only been in office for a few weeks, and they decided to send him on a trip abroad, which is a usual thing when you have a new head of state, to introduce him. And the big difference was he went towards the east, in other words, to China, rather than going to Europe, which is the usual way that a Russian president would go, because the principal amount of their trade and strategic interests are naturally towards the West and Western Europe. So Dmitry Medvedev, went to China apparently to make a formal visit. And this brought a good deal of attention in the Russian press.
Was there any other meaning of this visit other than the diplomatic first trip abroad?
Well, there was meaning, yes. They actually did business. They did commercial business in the form of signing an agreement on a nuclear fuel enrichment plant, which is a $1 billion deal, which was advantageous to the Russians because the balance of trade between Russia and China over the past year or so has flip-flopped so that the Russians were at approximately a $10 billion deficit. Normally, they would be selling more to China than China would selling to them. But as it is with the United States, albeit in smaller amounts, Chinese ended up selling a great deal more to Russia. And so they wanted to rebalance that. So there was that business side of it. They also, the Russians are interested in selling more things in the future. They want to sell more nuclear technology. They want to sell more military equipment. And also they have airplanes. As you know, they have a rather large business in air transport, and they want to sell those to the Chinese.
Well, I don't know. Was this only about trade, or was there some other purpose?
The Russians wanted to get the Chinese lined up with the Russian position regarding the American anti-missile systems. Now, these anti-missile systems, as you may remember, Michael, have already been broached for establishment in both the Czech Republic and Poland. Poland to get the missiles and the Czech Republic to get the radar systems. We have held, that is the United States, that these systems, which are not very large, there's only about 10 missile batteries involved, were to be aimed at countering any Iranian missile development. The Russians, on the other hand, said, well, hold it, these are awfully close to us, and they could be too easily turned into an anti-missile system against Russian missiles. And we said, no, that's not what they're there for. We can show you them. We can show you our plans. You can inspect them when they get there. But the Russians basically said, no, it's too close. And what they meant was that the United States and NATO were basically pressing closer and closer to Russian borders and creating what, in the same term that they used during the Cold War, a stranglehold on Russia. They wanted the Chinese to join in with them in objecting to the system, and the Chinese did. There was a joint statement by Medvedev and Hu Jintao, the Chinese president, objecting to this American anti-missile system.
Does this help the status of Medvedev as the new Russian president?
Well, it gave him recognition, but more importantly, it introduced Medvedev to the Chinese, and it gave him recognition as the new principal leader. Now, in fact, of course, Vladimir Putin remains the operational head of Russia. He has the job of prime minister, and most of the authority in the operation of the government is in the hands of the prime minister, as Putin defines it. So you have a Mr. Inside and Mr. Outside, and it looks like Medvedev is going to be made into their outside guy, the fellow who travels around the world, who talks business. He has a very good background in business. He formerly was the chairman of their giant gas cartel, and he knows what he's doing in that field particularly. But he is young. He's only 42 years of age. He'll be 43 in September. And he needs to establish himself on the diplomatic scene. That was very important. And it was particularly important to take that step towards China and reaffirm what had previously, in the past, had been the close relationship between China and Russia. And it was his job to reestablish it.
What do you think China got out of this?
Actually, not much. Frankly, the Chinese were preoccupied with the earthquake. So his visit, by circumstance, was very ill-timed. They got a chance to essentially have a certain obeisance played to them by the Russians. In a way, Medvedev's visit to Beijing was a traditional Chinese kowtow. He came, he kneeled, he presented himself, and the Chinese said, what a good boy you are. That's what they got out of it, a certain sense of superiority. And as he is relatively new on the scene, It was not difficult to do. That's about all they got out of it. And they may have also wanted to have that nuclear fuel enrichment plant, but they paid for it, so that was no particular big deal.
Are we looking at a stronger Russia-China tie now? Is this something we should be worried about, the new communist bloc?
You know, the details are not immediately apparent. But, Michael, the joint positioning on the subject of the U.S. anti-missile project carries with it a clear implication that both Russia and China are not going to buy into an American-led global security program. In that sense, there definitely is a strengthening of defense ties between Beijing and Moscow. That in itself is troublesome, but more academically than militarily. We'll be working in the future on changing both China and Russia's minds on the anti-missile security concept. Truth is that neither Moscow nor Beijing seem to be overly worried about rogue nation nuclear weapon development. I suspect that neither country expects to be a target for rogue nation nuclear attack in the near term. Our setting up of this anti-missile system in Eastern Europe, as diplomatically sensitive as it is, has really worried the Russians. They consider it the beginning, and they have sold the idea to the Chinese. It may not have been a difficult sale, that the Americans in the future could conceivably do the same thing with China, i.e. put anti-missile batteries in South Korea, in Taiwan, and elsewhere in Asia, countering Chinese missile capability. So that's where this defensive relationship lies. There's nothing specific that you can point to. That they're talking about military things is nothing new. I don't think the matter creates more danger today than we had yesterday. But it is a factor. It can't be overlooked. And it must be worked on, because we do see our development in the anti-missile field to be key to future security around the world.
George Whitman, thank you for being on the Savage Nation.
Thanks for having me on, Michael.
You know, people are trying to silence Michael Savage. That's me. I need your help. It's a big battle, a legal battle. The opposition has unlimited funds. I don't. Will you please go to michaelsavage.com, contribute $5, $10, $1,000, $10,000. You'll notice that you can contribute to the Legal Defense Fund under a new address. The mail goes to the Michael Savage. That's if a check, a money order, cash. Michael Savage Legal Fund, 4 Embarcadero Center, 39th floor, San Francisco 94111. Thank you for helping protect freedom of speech. Michael Savage Legal Fund, 4 Embarcadero Center, 39th floor, San Francisco 94111. And God bless you for helping protect freedom of speech.
Savage.
Slowed to a crawl and stockholders watched their money evaporate, CEO pay still climbed to even more dizzying heights last year. An Associated Press analysis of companies in the Standard & Poor's 500 index finds a median CEO pay package of about $8.4 million, an increase of $280,000 from 2006.
Now, normally I disagree with the Associated Press because they're very socialistic, but the fact of the matter is when CEOs are taking down millions of dollars a year while their companies are losing money, then I have to agree with this report. Something is very wrong. Listen to clip 13.
At the top of the AP list, John Thain, who took the reins of Merrill Lynch on December 1st, 2007, Thain's compensation package was worth more than $83 million. This happened as the investment bank was experiencing its worst losses ever.
Mm-hmm. Then the next, 14.
Take KB Home, battered by the subprime lending crisis and the weak housing market. According to the company's proxy statement, CEO Jeffrey Metzger is entitled to a cash bonus based on a percentage of KB's profit. The problem? There was no profit. KB Home lost almost $930 million for the year, and its stock lost 60% of its value. But Metzger still made $24.4 million as valued by the AP, including a $6 million cash bonus.
Wait, it gets better. Listen to 15.
Consider General Motors CEO Rick Wagoner. Earlier this month, Wagoner stood before reporters to soberly announce that things were so bad the company had to close four truck plants. The automaker lost about $39 billion for the year, and its stock price fell about 19%. But Wagoner, his pay rose 64% to $15.7 million.
Isn't that interesting? Now, how could you be living in a country where CEOs make this kind of money, even though their companies may be losing hundreds or of millions or billions of dollars? Is this fair? It's insanity. Don't get me wrong. I think a CEO should make money if the company makes money. I don't think they should make money if the company loses money. Something is wrong. And, of course, the answer, my friend, is written in the wind. I have no answer to this other than it's all corrupt and it's all broken. Oklahoma, Theodora, you're on the Savage Nation. What's the topic?
Yes, I was just wanting to call in because it seems as though that it seems like everything that's gone wrong in America lays upon Barack's shoulder. You know, I don't believe in gay marriages. I don't believe in a lot of things. But I also know that America has been falling for some time now.
Wait, slow down. You're talking about Barack Obama and gay marriage. Of course he's not responsible for it, but he said he's in favor of it.
I mean, I think he said what people...
No, he said he's in favor of it. He said he's in favor of gay marriage. Obama said he's glad that the Supreme Court ruled in favor of terrorists the other day. All you have to do is look at the man's policies and what he says he will do to understand what's going on, Theodore. You can't just worship the guy because you want to worship the guy. You got to look at what he's actually saying he's going to do. Thanks for the call. Nobody wants to look at, the libs don't want to look at what he actually says he's going to do. He says what he's going to do. That's what's worrisome. Now, how people can get so excited over a man who has the most liberal voting record in America is not surprising to me. The media is overwhelmingly Marxist, socialist, anarchist, left-wing. Everybody knows that. So he's their man. He represents their values. But for the people to think that he is something other than what he is also worrisome. San Diego, Daryl, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yes, my topic is you. I just wanted to tell you that I think you're a very brave man, and I respect you immensely. And I thought I was a liberal.
Well, anybody who speaks their mind today is either crazy or brave, or a combination of both. We're all living in a fear, in a world where you have to fear speaking the truth or speaking what you believe. Now, what kind of free country is that? What kind of free country is it when people are afraid to say what they actually believe? We've lost our freedoms. And who are we going to blame for that? We have to blame ourselves for that because we only have fear of fear itself. What are we actually afraid of? They can't put you in jail for speaking what you believe, can they? Not yet. We don't live in Canada yet where they've lost their freedoms because they rolled over to the fascisti. Thank you for the call. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. I haven't even touched on the stories on my own website because there's so much going on, you know, that I didn't want to touch on. Now, there's another story we should touch on, and that's a piece on the sweetheart deals given by Countrywide Mortgages to Senators Chris Dodd and Ken Conrad. Here's Chris Dodd gets caught with his pants down and says he did nothing wrong. Listen to clip 09.
As chairman of the Senate Banking Committee, Chris Dodd has tried to crack down on companies accused of predatory mortgage lending at the center of the home foreclosure crisis. He's pushed for more regulation and even criminal charges against some lenders.
Obviously, they've been engaging in practices in some instances where they knew the borrowers were incapable of meeting their financial obligations.
Yeah, but he doesn't tell you the rest of the story as we do in clip 10.
One company being investigated for fraud in the mortgage crisis, Countrywide Financial Corporation, reportedly gave Senator Dodd cut-rate deals on two loans, deals not available to the general public. According to a report in Condé Nast Portfolio magazine, Dodd's fellow Democrat Kent Conrad, chairman of the Senate Budget Committee, got similar deals. The magazine cites internal documents and emails saying Countrywide CEO Angelo Mozzillo directed staffers to give lower interest rates and points to influential people.
Oh, why else would anyone take a job paying $200,000 a year and spend $30 million to get the job? I never could figure that out, could you? Who would spend $30 million or $50 million to become a senator to make $200,000 a year? It never added up. Now, how do you like that? It starts to add up. Listen to clip 11.
But the senators have stated clearly they believe they have done nothing wrong. Senator Conrad says he's never met Angelo Mozzillo in person, says he spoke to him only once over the phone. And when we asked about that conversation, an aide to Senator Conrad said he simply told Mozzillo he was looking for a mortgage on a property and asked Mozzillo if his company would be interested in the business. This aide reiterated Senator Conrad did not ask for favorable rates and never knew he was getting them.
No, he didn't know he was getting them. He got them, but he didn't know how he got them. That's all. He got them, he didn't know how. Well, why? Had no idea how or why. Oh, boy. Well, up on MichaelSavage.com, we just posted the person of interest in the killing of those two little girls last week. And we did so for the public safety and public interest. It's, do they have the sketch up yet? I was told it was just, here's another story. Lawmakers flush during economic slump. House leaders are doing well financially during this economic slump, and the case in point is Nancy Pelosi. Now, she's for the people, of course. Just ask her. But she's one of the wealthiest members of Congress, God bless her. And her real estate magnate husband and herself spent between $1 and $5 million to buy the home they've been living in on San Francisco's Broadway. They also own a vineyard in St. Helena, California, worth between $5 and $25 million, and a townhouse in Northern California valued between $1 and $5 million, according to the article. Pelosi's government salary is $212,000. The Pelosi's also took in rental income of as much as $5 million on five separate commercial properties in the San Francisco Bay Area. Paul Pelosi reported nearly four dozen stock sales and purchases last year, sometimes involving sums up to $1 million or more. As Speaker, Pelosi's government salary is $212,000. I don't know why I'm laughing. It just must be a tick, a nervous tick I have. Representative Steny Hoyer, Democrat Maryland, the majority leader, had as much as $665,000 invested in individual retirement accounts. Must be a nervous tick that makes me laugh. Why do they take jobs that pay so little and they have so much money? Does anyone know why would Dianne Feinstein, whose income must be one of the highest in the world, because her husband Richard Blum has done business with China long before we even knew what China was as an economic giant, that is, why would she have spent so much money to become a U.S. Senator, Dianne Feinstein, and to earn so much, such little money? I guess it's that nervous tick again. I never could understand why people would fight to be a senator to make only $170,000, $180,000, $190,000 a year. I never understood why they spent $50 million to get that seat. This is Michael Savage with God's Will and Your Listenership. I shall continue to return.
Savage.